Smith, Tom Morello, and many others. Go to democracynow.org. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, and Andre Lewis. Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, and Paul Huckabee are engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Miriam Barnard, Aaron Dooley, Julie Crosby, Jemiah Lewis, Hugh Grand, David Prude, Ariel Boone, Vesta Goddars, and Anthony Manzo. Our camera crew, John Randolph, Kieran Meadows, Anna Osbeck, Matt Ely, and Kaya Cirilla. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KBOO, Portland. Good morning at 7:59. Remember that line from Harry Belafonte, the heart has to find greater space for rebellion. This is KBOO. It's January 2nd, Monday. Good morning. A 20% chance of snow is in the forecast today. Mostly sunny, though. A high near 33. At 8 o'clock, that's coming up next. Guest host Linda Olson Osterlund will take your phone calls about the new year, and you can start calling right now, 503-231-8187. She's looking forward to a discussion with you. At 9 o'clock on the Old Mole Variety Hour, today's discussions include topics of intersex, sustainable activism, the future, and the 13th Amendment. At 11 o'clock on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman has 8 steps to reset your hormones, repair your metabolism, and restore fertility. And at 11:30, it's Madness Radio, voices and visions from outside mental health. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. More talk radio is next on KBOO. It's 8 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of First 100 Days, United in Resistance. First 100 Days is a resource to support creative resistance to the Trump regime and takes place January 14th and 15th at the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art. There will be workshops on preparing for protests, interrupting oppression, creative protest tactics, and more, with the goal of strengthening our communities by channeling outrage into dynamic projects based on a deeper analysis of anti-colonial, anti-capitalist, anti-racist, and feminist histories. Again, that's First 100 Days, January 14th and 15th, at the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, 415 Southwest 10th Avenue, Suite 300 in Portland. More information on the event can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
The World Arts Foundation Incorporated and KBOO would like to invite you to its 32nd annual tribute to the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On Monday, January the 16th, from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center located at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Invited guests will include a multitude of speakers and performances that includes the Portland Interfaith Gospel Choir and choirs from the Portland Public Schools, African drumming, and the acclaimed Jefferson Dancers, and much, much more. Monday, January the 16th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., live right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Keep alive the dream.
The greatness of America is the right to protest far rights.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO this morning. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. This is More Talk Radio. Cecil and Celeste have taken the holiday off. I want to welcome all of you to this conversation I'd like to have with you today. I don't have any guest except you, the listener. That number to call is 503-231-8187. And what we're talking about is the year that we're leaving and the year coming up. I found myself over the weekend and the time before that really looking at my own personal life and the changes that I had to make in the upcoming year and beginning to look at what happened in this past year that I can, how I can assess my own life, my own functions, my own actions, my own goals. You know, it really just looking back at last year, how'd we do? What do I need to change? And what can I do this year? And I'm like so many of you, you know, my income isn't getting any larger and all of my expenses are. So I face, you know, having to make some kinds of financial changes. And I'm wondering, how is it going for you out there? We had this stunning political change with the election and Trump being the president-elect. And that has certainly got us all alert. I heard Harry Belafonte on Democracy Now! Say, where resides the rebellious heart? And I thought, well, here in Portland, for sure, because there is a heart of rebellion here in Portland. But I want you to call in and talk about what was important to you this last year. What did you think were the most important things for the world? What do you think, what are you planning to do? How are you responding to the election? And I don't mind personal reflections either. Has it made you feel afraid? Are you worried about your own personal safety? Maybe you're an activist and you feel like you're worried about what list you might be on. Maybe you're saying, I'm throwing worry to the wolves. I'm just going to be out there because, you know, we need to be there. So I want to hear from you. I definitely want to know what you're thinking about this year. You're an informed, educated, active audience, and your opinions and your thoughts and your information are worthy of sharing. So please take a moment right now and give us a call at 503-231-8187. Talk about your plans for this coming year, if you've begun to make those plans. I know some of us are thrown immediately into the immediate. There are people who have been involved in some form of protest almost every day since the election. And I'd like to hear from you as well. But I'd like to hear from those who haven't been getting out that way. Are there some of you who used to be active, but you're feeling very discouraged? I remember hearing lots of people saying they want to move to, you know, they're going to move to Canada, they're going to move to somewhere else as soon as if Trump won. And I don't think that most of those people are doing it, but I do think some people are. So call in if you know people like that. Do we have anybody on the line, John? Oh, I saw the phone ring, but nobody's here. So that means it's your turn to call in. I'll tell you some things that are, you know, planned if you'd like. I did not do a comprehensive list of this because I really want to hear from you. but I know that there are protests planned about the inauguration. So why don't we talk a little bit about those? There's what I read on the web sounds like hundreds of thousands of people in a variety of different groups, including some very, very large union groups that are bringing people from all over that are going to be coming together. And they definitely expect to have hundreds of thousands of people there for the inauguration. And then in the day following, there are going to be additional large demonstrations, including the Women's March on Washington, D.C. Here in Portland on January 21st, we're going to be having an overall resistance to the inauguration march. And I don't have the name of that in front of me, but that one's going to be on Saturday. And then, and I believe it's at noon at Shemansky Park. And then Saturday, January 21st, there's also going to be the Women's March that the first march is going to join at Waterfront Park. And it starts at noon as well. So those two marches are going to come together on the 21st. So there's definitely opportunity to protest. There's also an event coming up from Don't Shoot PDX on January 15th to take back Martin Luther King Day and to, you know, from their point of view, to make it be much more relevant to what's happening today and maybe to Martin Luther King's actual message. So that's going to be happening on January 15th in Peninsula Park. Facebook is a great way to find these people if you are on Facebook. If not, you can just type in words in Google, even just put in protests, anti-Trump protests, Portland, and you'll find a lot of information. We do have one caller on the line. Leah, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I listened to you. I've never called in before, but I listen to you all the time. I'm a KBOO member, longstanding. The protests that are going on, that went on in Standing Rock, need to come down to our local communities. And when people get burned out or discouraged or whatever, we have to remember that this isn't about me. It's not about, it's about all of us. It's about the whole world. And we're going to have to stand up and fight for Trump, but we have to start here. Stand up for myself, stand up for my neighbor, stand up for my children, stand up for others. That's where it starts. So come on, folks, let's stand up. There's a big rally coming up on the 20th. We all need to be there.
All right. Thank you. Now, which rally is that you're talking about?
I'm talking about the one on the 20th. It's the inauguration. I think it's the 20th. There's a big gathering. It's a protest. Yeah. I don't have all the details, but I know I'm going to be there.
Okay, so that's great. And we'll be able to get those details from others as we go.
Yeah.
I was saying January 21st. I know there are two marches on that day, but I'm assuming that on inaugural day there would also be protests. So you're probably right. And we will check that out as well. And Leah, have you been getting out into the, have you been out protesting in this?
I'm an activist. I've been homeless for about 10 or 11 months. And I found a place to live here. I'm a member of the Oregon Grange. I found a place to live. I have a job here that helps me pay my rent, and I'm their watch person, maintenance person, but I'm under a Title 29 notice. So I'm going to be fighting that because I'm not moving anyplace. If I leave here, I'm on the street again, and I'm an elder, I'm disabled.
Yeah, we do not want you on the streets, Leah. No. That's one of the worst. I hate it when I see women our age on the street. I hate it when I see anyone on the street, but when I see women our age, I feel it acutely myself.
Yeah, and 88 people died on the streets this winter. Salem is a disaster. I was down there for a while. You cannot believe what they're doing to the elders. So we need to organize the Gray Panthers again, big time.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Leah.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, bye-bye. We have another caller on the line. Doug, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm glad to hear all this activity on the radio. I think that it's very important. I think it's a time now where we have to think about leaders. We need new leaders. I mean, Martin Luther King has passed away, and several of the other great leaders of the country. We do have people like Bernie Sanders standing up for our country. But we need a president of the West. Somebody needs to stand up and say, I'm president of the West to the people.
I know what you mean in terms of wanting someone whose leadership is so strong that we feel like it's something that we can really get behind. And there is some comfort in having one great leader like that. Of the West, I laughed a little bit just because so many science fiction books and so many things written of the future, of course, have the United States broken into segments. And the West Coast is definitely one of those segments. And as you notice, so many different aspects that we get farther and farther out there in terms of like the way the rest of the United States is run. And I think it's interesting. I don't think that I'll be here for that kind of secession of the, the breakup of the United States geographically, but I think it's pretty interesting. And I agree with you that we need leaders and we need to look. We have some great people leading in this town around different movements. We have to look to the leaders we have and ask more of them if we want to, and put them in roles that we can use. But I think we have to ask for all of us to become the leaders we can be. And I know there are some workshops about how to do protest, how to do become an activism in Portland. And I think we even have promos that you can hear on our radio station talking about the upcoming ones of those. And I think that's one good thing. Let new leaders come out of this movement. They've been coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement. They've been coming out of the environmental movement. And I think we want the new leaders to be coming out of that. It's great that Bernie Sanders is a leader that, to the extent that he is a leader, but he's also, we don't need all our leaders over 55, and we need to have them from the younger ranks, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. I think, though, that maybe president of the West shouldn't just be one person. It should be a committee of people, maybe a Native American, young, I think is very important, young Native American, a young Black person, and a young white person. Let's have president of the United States. Since Trump has destroyed the title, let's bring it back.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And let's go on to our next caller. Rada, I believe we have Rada on the line.
Yes. I have four comments to make or 4 points to make with regards to how I feel about 2017 and our current political situation. First of all, I'm taken back to the days of Nazi Germany and the rise of Adolf Hitler and his henchmen, and how Hitler, who, by the way, was a heavy user of methamphetamines, would go into these rants against the Jews and the Gypsies, and how the reason that the Germans were having problems was the result of the Jews and the Gypsies destroying the economy and stealing all the money.
So, yeah, the extreme nationalism and division against others. Hitler did that, and we see that in Trump, certainly, if you're drawing that parallel.
Right. And then the, and yes, especially, you know, his rants and raves against Mexicans and Muslims and disabled.
If people wonder if he's racist, he still claims that the five young men who were prosecuted for the Central Park rape and assault of a woman, this was many, many years ago, and it eventually the DNA came, you know, out, and it turned out to be one man, not any of those five young men, and that one man admitted it once it was proven, and he had done, you know, and he had a clear memory of the attack that he had perpetrated. He was already in prison from another attack. But Trump, to this day, still, I mean, he has recently again said those men should have been executed, those young black men. Now, he knows about DNA. He knows that that pretty conclusively says whether or not they were part of it. None of their DNA was found on the young woman, only that of the man who is now known to do it. So I think we have a very, very dangerous situation when we have a man. People want to call him stupid. He's not stupid. He's doing Cheney and Rumsfeld for us again, which is lie and then lie again and then lie again and then lie again.
Right. And then my second point is that I'm now reflecting on the days of Joseph Stalin in Russia, and how people would go around in those days. You'd listen to Russian people, citizens, and they would talk about, oh, how, you know, Joseph Stalin knows everything. I mean, you know, he knows everything about medicine. He knows everything about science, mathematics, history. I mean, he is just a human encyclopedia. And with Trump's, you know, recent comments about being able to, he knows everything about hacking and computers and making comments like that. I mean, he is definitely a megalomaniac, narcissist on the level of Joseph Stalin.
Well, I can see that. We don't know that he will carry out actions the same as Stalin did, but I see what you're saying about that. What's your third point?
Well, you know, my third point is that when it comes to the President of the United States, and especially in the legal profession, there is this very important form of behavior. It's called avoiding the appearance of impropriety, where you don't want, you know, you don't want to go to a party and say something that might even imply that you're dishonest or you're a crook or that you're a shady character. And my fourth point is connected to this, is that when I see, you know, Trump gathering together his cabinet of goons, you know, who have a vested interest in hundreds of countries, financial interest, monetary interest, business interest, and then I see him having meetings with foreign leaders with all of his children present. This doesn't look like a presidency. This looks more like a businessman who has gotten himself into a position where he can sit down with the leaders of the world and play hardball for his business interests, for his children's interests, and for his buddies' interests, and get everything that these people have ever wanted in terms of financial gain. but without one drop of concern for the welfare and the well-being of the American people.
Okay, I think you've said it there very well. I think also you've, you know, I think Trump is carrying out people, we've used the word fascism not always carefully, but I think one of the definitions is clearly when the state is used to enrich the corporations. It really becomes just an arm to support the oligarchy or whoever the elite in power is, and is not run at all in the interests of the people or even intended to. And I think that Trump's his casual, and you know, he seems not at all even perturbed that he's violating all of the normal rules of that. And I think that's as scary as anything. But let's go on to another caller. We have another caller on the line. And I want to tell people the number again. It's 503-231-8187. And who do we have, John? We've got Dave on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. Happy New Year. You know, this is great because I have two cousins that are in law enforcement, and they have about 45 years between them both. They wanted me to join them, and I told them a long time ago, around that time, that all cops in this country need to be fired, just like with the air traffic controllers, okay? If you fire them, and then you rehire them after a complete heavy psychological evaluation to weed out the KKK and the little boys who've been bullied by black people their whole lives. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, I think you've got a really good point there. And I think often people might enter a profession like policing thinking they're going to be able to do good and become something different as they get absorbed
tainted.
In the culture.
Tainted.
Yes.
They become tainted by the environment.
Yes. I agree with you. I think that really does happen. And that might bode for in an ideal future where people didn't stay in that same kind of job over long periods of time. But also we wouldn't need the purpose of a police in my ideal would not be to enforce rules that support property protection, which is what most of the laws are.
I agree. The police are here to serve one purpose, and they're the muscle for the elite.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for that. I believe that we do have one more caller on the line.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And do we have another caller there? Tom. Oop, did we lose you, Tom? Just 1 second and we'll see. The number to call if you're interested is 503-231-8187, and I do hope you're interested in. I'd like to hear we've been getting some thoughts and opinions about the situation in the world as a whole. I'd also like to hear how it's affecting you personally, if you can talk about that. And I don't mean we're not here to, you know, this isn't a confessional, but I think it's important for us to know how it's going with other people and how this situation has caused you to react. What I'm hearing right now is it's motivated a lot of desire to get into action and take action. Tom.
Hello.
Tom, do we have you there?
Yes, I'm not sure if I'm on the...
Yes, you are. You're on.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you. I would just like to say that I don't find very much difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The major difference seems only to be the rhetoric.
Yes.
We continue to push along in the same direction, which is to enrich the rich and the corporations. And when Obama said that he wanted to bring change, give change to the American people, what he was actually talking about was giving the American people a few coins, which is also called change.
Yes.
And giving the rich and the corporations billions of dollars. I mean, we spend trillions on killing people and disregard the infrastructure of this country, the people of this country, and it's really sad.
Yeah, I think it is too. We cut back services to people who really need them. For example, I have my dear sister, is her husband has ALS, and they were low income before this. But, you know, to see how much help and support she can get from the system and how much she cannot get from the system, and to know that we've been steadily cutting back on the kinds of services that we deliver to people who are in need, to our vulnerable. And that's a lot of us. One of our callers earlier said she'd just come out of homelessness. Many of us are looking at the amounts we have for our retirement and knowing that it can't last us long enough. I mean, we're going to have to die in 5 years, you know, or something like that. And according to national statistics, that's the majority of people over 60 are facing. They don't have enough reserve to be able to go forward, and that's thanks to the stock market, which took everybody was pushed into 401ks and then took all their money, the dot-com, the home mortgage. They've been playing around with finances in a way that have left so many of us with not enough.
That's really true, and it's just so sad that all of this money goes into war and to killing people, and none of it goes into helping people. I mean, it's very sad. It's very sad, and the Democrats are just as responsible for this as the Republicans. And why people get so upset about Trump and didn't have anything to say about Obama, I mean, it boggles my mind.
Well, I think that's a really important point to bring up. I do think that Obama was largely given a pass by most people. I do think that Trump is going to take things, has already taken things in a dramatically further tone, but it's in the direction that everything was going anyway.
That's right. That's very true. I mean, he continues in exactly the same footsteps that all these other people have made on this path, and it's incredible that people are so upset and so amazed that this is happening.
Yeah, I think that many people didn't see it coming, and I think this, we have to acknowledge, it's a pretty big shift. People didn't see this coming,
It is not that big a shift, and people keep saying that, it is not shifting. It's continuing to go in the same direction. The rhetoric is different, but the actions and the movement are all in the same direction. You're crazy if you think that it is some sort of shift. It is not shifting. It is continuing.
Well, I think it's a continuance, but in that continuance, things have taken a leap forward for fascism. Oops, sorry, Tom. I hope you didn't hang up. I appreciate what you're saying. I do think that there has, however, been like a qualitative or leap in the direction of fascism. And by fascism, I mean a totalitarian state, the use of nationalism, white supremacy specifically, but nationalism against immigrants to the United States as well. That rhetoric isn't just rhetoric. It's taking a step forward. He also has put people in the cabinet who I think, you know, are there entirely to dismantle certain parts of our government and will set about that at a handy pace. On the other hand, I think Tom has a good point. I was speaking to my doctor the other morning, and she's a smart, intelligent woman I've known for about 20 years, and she said, you know, the United States is one really big ship, and big ships don't turn around fast. What he wants to do may not be able to happen in the 4 years that he wants. There are things he can do fast and there are things he can do slow. But I think so I thought her point was well taken, you know, to not be like on the brink of panic. But I think we'll see that Trump is willing to do almost anything outrageous. And I'm back and forth about that. But I do think we have taken... rhetoric isn't just rhetoric. Rhetoric guides what people do. And that does not mean, in my mind, that Obama was a good president. He was an emperor that the oligarchy loved to have. He spread the ability to kill anybody around the world at any time. He made that his right, and now the right of any other person holding his office. So I'm not saying this isn't a continuance of bad policies, but I'm saying it's a big leap. We've got another caller on the line. Mitch, thanks for calling in. Are you there, Mitch? I'm not hearing anything.
Can you hear me?
Now we've got you.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to build on your previous two callers because the points they make about, and the point you were just making right now about looking at Obama's record and how we could let this happen where we actually have no opposition, because the Democrats have been at the forefront of the corporate caliphate
for a while.
Well, it was I think it was seamless when Clinton passed NAFTA and George W. Bush came in. It was seamless because George W. Bush, who his father had campaigned actually against Ross Perot, saying that if you pass NAFTA, that sucking sound we hear will be all the jobs leaving the country. And we just really don't have a media system that can address topics like media reform, which you can't have political campaign reform without media reform because all the money goes into buying airtime, so it can't be discussed on the air. And we also don't have a media that can connect us to discuss what happens when capital is unfettered around the world. Capital can cross borders, but people can't.
Yes, and I mean, think that we do have an...
We can't discuss those contradictions publicly.
Well, we don't get airtime to discuss them publicly, but we do here on KBOO, which does, you know, when things get really rough out there, KBOO does get more listeners, and that's because people do recognize that they're not hearing something substantive on most of the other media platforms that are available.
And KBOO has a labor program and labor reporters.
Yes.
We don't find that anywhere else. And here's the point, Linda, is that not only don't we find it anywhere else, we don't find the demand going to OPB and NPR and pointing out that there are five business programs, This Week on Wall Street, Planet Money, Marketplace. They go on and on without, they don't even feel like they have to apologize for not having one labor program. Now, are the majority of the people in America wage slaves, or are the majority of the people, like Bill Clinton foretold, we're all supervisors and managers?
Well, I think we know the answer to that. I think that we do need, you know, obviously media makes a huge difference in it, but let's talk about how are we going to do this going forward. I think that the web has offered us many opportunities, and one of them is to make our own media, and it is to be able to seek out and find different kinds of information available on it. Not everybody is able to be on the web or is comfortable being on it. I know plenty of people who can't afford to have a smartphone, so they don't have the web at their hand as others do. So, but
no, I think the meme, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think the meme we need to form among the 99.99%, the meme we need to form is that of forming a demand. Because we're nebulous. We have these environmental reason causes. We have these spread the wealth from the middle class out causes. But there's nothing that actually makes a demand on those who are running the corporate caliphate. And the corporate caliphate is a duopoly. It doesn't matter. You know, you go on the comments fields online or anywhere, and it breaks down into the identity of I'm a left winger, you're a right winger. I'm a white, you're a black. I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican. People don't realize that when we fall into that trap, we are helping the corporate caliphate.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your thoughts, Mitch, and thank you for bringing it up. We have another caller
thank
on the
you.
Line. I'm sorry, who do we have Mike on the line. We're having a little bit of technical fumbling going on, I think, but our systems are a little odd, so we'll see if we've got Mike there. I appreciate all of you callers. I'd like to hear from way more, even. We've got almost 30 minutes left of the show. The phone number is 503-231-8187, and we want to hear from you about what you think about what's happening this year and what you're planning to do. You know, what are you... I'd like to hear the plans that you've already made, or if you're already active in those plans, what those are. I know there's one organization, or there's an entity that's called for action, and that's called No, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. That's the name of their call. They did a live stream about a week ago that I just caught. I was on Facebook, and it said there was going to be this live stream about refusing fascism. And I thought, well, I want to see that. And so I tuned in, and I started listening, and I was very impressed. Some of the names of the people supporting this movement are Bill Ayers. You remember him as a longtime activist. Margaret Cho, the comedian. Carl Dix, a filmmaker and longtime activist. Cornel West, Alice Walker, the poet. Chase Iron Eyes and Everett Iron Eyes, water administrator from Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. So many, many people have joined in this call. And what the call is saying is that we must deny Trump his presidency, that we must get out in the streets in large enough numbers and say, no, we won't accept a fascist America. I think the basic tenet is, like one of our callers earlier said, this reminds him of when Hitler came into power. And I know I'm old enough to be raised a post-World War II baby, but close on the end of that war. And, I was raised to think, oh, those Germans, they turned aside and let all of those horrors of the Holocaust happen. Will that be us, is my question to you. And I think this organization is saying that we need to build a movement of demonstrations that reach a crescendo on January 20th, not that they start on January 20th. You can find this website. It's just, if you wrote in refuse fascism, no, refuse fascism to Google, I think you would find this. I believe it's on RevCom and other places. But so there are people out there not just saying, let's demonstrate on the inauguration. They're saying, let's stop the inauguration. There are plenty of good reasons out there for the rest of the United States government's apparatus to say that Trump's presidency is illegitimate. He's starting it out illegitimate, I do believe. But are we going to do it? So let's get the callers. We've got some more callers on the lines. Mike, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine. You know, one of the Achilles heels of Donald Trump faces is that the military, which is the power base of the presidency, is a volunteer military. And unlike Germany, the military here is made up of minorities and poor whites, which is a big shift. And I think that is one of the weaknesses of Donald Trump's power, is that it may be hard for him to get poor whites and minorities to really head down that path of fascism, and which is totally different than what Hitler had, because Hitler had an all-white army.
Right. So, I think the point you're making is really important, actually. I think it's a really important, during the Vietnam War, the soldiers themselves refusing and turning, and they began something called fragging, which would be killing an officer that was sending them out into too dangerous a territory. It's very important that all forms of law enforcement look to their real interest as people living in this country.
So, yeah, and I think it's going to be hard for them to kill their own relatives and people like that. So I think that's his one big weakness. I think that might be why he's reaching out to Russia, because I think if that happens, then I think Russia is going to be the one that's going to supply the military force to keep them in power. Anyway,
well, that would be interesting. Thank you, Mike. All right, and we have another caller on the line. John.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
I would like to give you my observation. I came here from Eastern Europe, from Poland, in 1971. And in 71, America was strong. It was Union country, and father or husband was working, children at home with mother, and one salary, union salary, provided enough for quality life for entire family. One car was sufficient at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my union job, and that job allowed me, my second or third job technically was union job, And this allowed me to make a good living, and this allowed me to get pursue higher education. So technically, my higher education was paid by my summer job that was union job.
Yes.
The National Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And very soon after, I noticed that one of our politicians, his name Kissinger, went to China and decided to be buddy-buddy with the Chinese. And I already found it very suspicious. And then, bingo, jobs go to China. So goods to manufacture for nothing, destroy union jobs, and move manufacturing there. And then produce cheap, sell high to American people. And then American people run out of money because their jobs were gone and union jobs disappeared.
Well, and Reagan went further in destroying union jobs with the air and pensions as well.
Correct, right. So this was one big step. And then there were two political parties, and Democrats and Republicans, and none of them were perfect. And these parties became very dysfunctional. They represented just money. And first it was one party representing money people and the other party representing working people. Then the other party became intellectuals party, Democrats, and there is no place to go to join any party nowadays. And now we have president that was elected by senator, by Clinton, because...
Well, and we don't even know if he was really all elected. We don't. We really don't know. There were too many ways that the votes were taken away. But yes, I see what you're saying.
There was one thing which is obvious. Voters were for Sanders, and Sanders wanted to do some changes. But the status quo people, which is Democrats and Republicans, were scared of them. So they would prefer Hillary Clinton or Trump over Sanders. So Sanders disappeared from screen of televisions and was done on purpose. And then we had a freak show with two people who really were not very functional.
And then we had, a lot of different irregularities.
And now is the question. Many people supported Trump because they supported the idea of getting jobs back to America from China. And this process was Kissinger and since then. So now we are in a situation that President Trump may try to get the jobs back from China with tariffs 25-35%, which sounds good. And maybe this is the only good thing that may come out of it, but will...
I can't see it being in his interests or in any of the ruling elites to bring the jobs back here. And so I think he's lying.
There is one strong interest Trump has. People who are poor don't go to casinos, cannot afford. So bringing jobs back, we create the middle class the way it was 1971 with strong union jobs and strong salaries. Then people will just line up to casinos.
All right. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate your perspective. And we have another caller on the line. Cody, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
There's fascism fears. Everyone understands that the fears were kind of reinforced after 9/11. When a lot of these laws came into effect,
right,
as a reaction to 9/11.
Yep.
And no one said anything because, our country jumped on 9/11 like the Weimar government jumped on Reichstag.
You know, can I challenge you just a little on that, Cody? Because I remember the morning of 9/11, and I remember the shock I felt, and I knew immediately that we would go to war because that's what our government does, is it takes these opportunities to use its military might. But what I also knew was I and my husband went immediately. My husband had that universal kind of blood, and so went to the Red Cross, and the Red Cross had already a line that was over three blocks long. of people showing up to give blood. And I think that people's initial reaction was really one of horror and then of wanting to reach out to all of those impacted, and that it was government propaganda and the media's going along with it that turned it rapidly into a let's revenge ourselves on anybody we feel like in the world.
You were able to eloquently catch my next point, and I'm here. The only reason why I called up was because Mitch, your caller about two or three callers ago, he knocked that ball right out the park. And no one's really talking about or challenging what our press is doing to the degree that they should, to tell the press to do their jobs and focus on journalistic quality instead of giving us half truths.
Yes.
And I'll make this quick. A lot of this could have been avoided had the average American been informed. But like you said yourself, the legacy press and every, and now these guys are lashing out and they're using this fake news thing. And it's only a matter of time before KABU and venues like KABU is considered fake news, because KABU might decide that they want to tell the other side of what the legacy is telling us. So I'll let you chew on that and comment on that. And shout out to Mitch. Great job, Mitch. You hit the nail on the head. Have
all
a
right.
Great day.
Thank you very much. I would like to say about KBOO, you know, it's an easy thing to do that after you've heard a program you like, if you're one of those people that are connected and you have the internet, you can, and say you're on Facebook, you can go and share that show on Facebook really easily and get it out to as many people as you want and say, hey, listen to this, a good take on that. We have many, many good volunteers who do hard work and get real experts on and become experts themselves in the issues that you want to hear about. And sharing our programs is a really good way of spreading the word. You can also do it just by, you know, taking a little, you know how you put a link in your email. So you can take a link from a show, like go to it on the schedule and it's got the audio there that's already been uploaded. After the show's been on, it's uploaded. This show will be uploaded within probably about an hour. You can just take that little URL and put it in your letter and send it to a friend on your email saying, boy, listen to this program I just heard. So I do think while we're relatively little, our reach can be really large here at KBOO. And if you appreciate getting the alternative view, share us as widely as you can. That's my push for that. We have another caller on the line, though. LJ, thanks for calling.
My pleasure, Linda. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Linda, I want to thank the caller, I think his name was Nick, who hit it out of the park. Linda, we cannot have crony capitalism and democracy. They're incompatible with each other.
Absolutely.
All right? And that is the situation that we have. So what we really need to do, Linda, is take a deep breath and look at the history of the empire and put it into perspective. We don't live in a democracy. We never will live in a democracy as long as the current economic paradigm is in existence. All right?
So, LJ, talk to me about, as you look forward to the year 2017, what it is that you're planning to do, or what are your plans? How are they informed by this last election?
All right. First of all, as far as this election was concerned, well, let's put that into perspective. Donald Trump lost by 2.5 million votes. Donald Trump does not have a mandate of the people. Donald Trump was selected by an outmoded system called the Electoral College, which was set up during the
right.
Civil
I think
War.
I think our audience pretty much knows
all
this.
Right, so
yep.
Anyway, you know all that crap.
I mean, we know the Electoral College is what did it, and that he's at least 2.5 million votes down in the popular vote. I'm not sure everybody else knows how many different areas and states where people who would have voted differently were not allowed to get to the
right.
to get to the polls, or how
right.
many. There's a lot more that went on, a lot more disparate shenanigans. But yeah, I think most people know that.
I'm sure you do. Totally in agreement. As far as I am concerned, I'm going to stand in solidarity with my brothers and sisters in Hands Up, Don't Shoot, in the American Indian Movement, and all of the disenfranchised people that the Imperial Empire uses to achieve its goal of of total domination.
All right.
All right. And just one more thing, Linda, I'll get off the air. All right. The fact, if you need proof that we live in a fascist police state, there were 9,000 TV cameras and a central control system at Times Square observing every single step that people made.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That's a really good point. You know, I caught just a little bit of it. Carson Daly was talking about how much more the police presence was, and he was talking about it, and I think he meant this genuinely, not just as a, you know, a mouthpiece or whatever. I think this was his own opinion. So you don't need to worry. We feel safe here. You know, you don't need to worry something bad is going to happen here.
You're
we
right.
feel safe. And I think that I was interested to hear him say that, because whenever I'm around a lot of armed men with, you know, giant Uzis and body armor, it scares me. It doesn't make me feel safe.
All right. Just one more thing. And I'll get off the air. I'm sorry, Linda. What makes me optimistic about 2017 is the fact that the flag of Palestine is flying at Standing Rock. And to leave you with one more thing, to quote Maya Angelou, I personally do not want to be involved in any revolution where love is not allowed.
Thank you very much for that. Intersectionality and love.
Keep on keeping on, Linda.
Yep, thank you, LJ. So he's talking about intersectionality, the way that the different the way that the different causes really are all brought together, and having Palestine at Standing Rock certainly is an example of that visually. I believe we have another caller on the line. Emily, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I haven't called in before. I'm moved by calling.
Oh, well, welcome.
Thank you. I just so much appreciate KBOO. I retired here 7 years ago, and the first thing I did was find KBOO, and it just it's held me so beautifully. I want to say I've been a climate activist in Portland for the last 5 years, and we've done so much and we've come so far, and there's no reason to be discouraged. In fact, I want to encourage the people who want the unions to be strong, who want the Democratic Party back, to get involved, because that's what we did with the climate movement here. We pressured City Hall. We pressured Mayor Hales until he's become a climate champion. And now Portland has the first no new fossil fuel infrastructure policy in the
that's
nation,
right,
and maybe the world. So I just want to say, going forward, what I'm going to do is stay connected. You can't be isolated or you'll get depressed and despair. But if you get connected and you work, like working to influence the OPBs and working to influence the Democratic Party, we can do this. I'm very encouraged.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in and talking about that, Emily. I really appreciate it. I remember that in my looking back last night, when I was looking back at this year, I thought, we've done a lot of good work environmentally here in Portland. And when I say we, I mean the larger we. I've been a climate activist in the sense that I go to some of the rallies, sign some of the petitions, and have people on the radio. I haven't been one of the real organizers, but I feel like I'm part of the we. And, you know, it was over a year ago, I believe, we had the kayakers out stopping the boat from going up to do more Arctic drilling. And look, Arctic drilling has been stopped as of now. Of course, we're over 50 degrees above what we should be in the Arctic right now. So there is the bad news on the other side. But the good news is, here in Portland and in Vancouver and in all over Washington, and actually in other locations in Oregon, we have fought off attempt after attempt by fossil fuel industries to try to make make us be their export zone. And I'm so proud of all of us for that. And I'm with you, Emily. I think we can go forward and build on our strengths like that.
Absolutely. And just on Wednesday, a bunch of us are going to Longview, Washington. There's a hearing in the afternoon about the Coama methanol facility that's trying to go in there, which would be as bad as anything they've done. So we just have to keep on keeping on. And if each person does one little thing, we can do this.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Emily. And do we have another caller on the line? Deanna, hi.
Hi.
Thanks
good
for
morning,
calling.
Linda. Thank good you for morning. Your show. This is really good. I would like to just echo what Emily said, actually, and to say that for the first time in a long time, I feel so hopeful, so energized. And why? Because finally, the mask has been ripped off. And so I see that what Mitch said and Cody said, I definitely agree with that. And I don't know if the strategy is to try to remake the Democratic Party anew. I'm not schooled enough to know whether that's the right or the best or even a good strategy, but it certainly is one place people can start. But I want to just emphasize what you said too, not but, and that is that we have done and are doing every day in Portland, in Oregon, with the Rural Organizing Project and Don't Shoot Portland and the climate activists and Black Lives Matter and Jewish Voice for Peace and many, many, many others that love organizations that I'm not naming at the moment, not for any reason except they're not jumping into my mind. But even if one is not an organizer, as Emily said, choose some area to become involved. That's what I've done, and it's what I'm doing. And right now, the most important thing seemed to me to be here on the West Side to connect with a group of people which has already begun to form, to be a safety action group for any, you know, white supremacist kind of nonsense that might go down, to protect the mosque, to protect each other. And I think this is something everyone can do. You don't even have to, you know, join some organization that you're unsure of. Go see your neighbors, right,
yeah,
and get together. This is what Mimi did up in St. John, and she was on KBOO the other night and talked for a long time about that, about how they've formed a hotline so that if anyone feels threatened and so forth. To me, that's something all of us can do and probably ought to do because it does make a difference, and it makes a difference in our own feeling of participating and having some power over our lives day to day.
And it takes us away, you know, it takes us towards self-reliance and away from reliance on any of the structures that have so badly failed us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to the last caller's point, excuse me, about aligning with and standing up for Standing Rock and sovereignty and Palestine. Yes. It's very clear to some people now, at least, that all of those issues are intricately interwoven and interconnected, and including the environmental justice movement, you know, all of it is one of a piece in a sense. And so anywhere we get involved, as long as we're aware of those things and make sure we understand, and if we don't understand, find out about that, you know, how we can be part of that all. I see that there's a great, great hopeful year in the face of this horrible, in a sense, calamity that has passed. People are coming out now and recognizing time to stop sitting wringing our hands in the kitchen and going, oh my God, what next, and get out and do something about it. So I'm extremely hopeful.
Well, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate your point of view, and I think that it's something that, you're right, you know, when things are really bad, stepping into action is always an antidote.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Do we have one more caller on the line? Mark, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Linda. Happy New Year. I want to recommend two remedies. One is Portland Indie Media, where anyone can upload articles and people can comment immediately. I wish more people knew about them. There are only four indie media sites that are still up. The second one is the community centers in Vancouver, Canada. At the Carnegie Center, in the poorest part of Vancouver, You can have a casserole dinner for $3.50. You can use the computers for 3 hours a day. You know, they have a library, game room, theater. It's quite incredible, and the cost is $1 a year. That's the cost for the community centers.
You mean for an individual to be a member of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it seems like we're in two different worlds. They built their computer-operated light rail in 1986 when Reagan was attacking Nicaragua.
Yeah, so...
So people need to go up there and...
I really like the idea of your community center. Someone had called in on one of the other shows about forming a network of support centers for people around the city, including, you know, places where people can get warm and get food. And
community centers could actually be a third way beyond the state and the market.
Yep.
Because right now the media is taken over by lies and fearmongers. Like Paul Ryan.
I agree with you. If you hear that music, though, the media here is being taken over by media, by us. we're that music means that my time is up, and I want to thank all of you who have called in today. I really appreciate your calls. A lot of good points of view, a lot of interesting points of view. We're going to go next to, I'm not remembering the name of the program, our great KBO Monday program. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:59. Coming up at 9 o'clock, that's next in just about a minute, the Old Mole Variety Hour, a variety of topics, including intersex, sustainable activism, the future, and the 13th Amendment. At 11 o'clock, it's Health Watch with Dr. David Naiman and 8 steps to reset your hormones, repair your metabolism, and restore fertility. And at 11:30, it's Madness Radio, voices and visions from outside mental health. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. It's 9 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 34th Annual Real Music Film Series taking place January 13th through February 5th at the Northwest Film Center. New works and classics are featured this year, including The Jazz Loft, According to W. Eugene Smith, Mose Allison, Ever Since I Stole the Blues, How Sweet the Sound, The Blind Boys of Alabama, the Les Blank film about Leon Russell called A Poem is a Naked Person, and many, many more. Again, that's the 34th Annual Real Music Film Series taking place January 13th through February 5th. All screenings take place in the Witzel Auditorium in the Portland Art Museum, 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.